think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is coaching. Let me get it right, guys. I have not had a sip of my coffee. Let me start off this session with a sip of coffee. Welcome to Coffee, Coaching, and Conversation. Mazel tov. As we discussed last week, I was collecting mugs from the states because I wanted to see the 50 states, and so I was collecting mugs. And this is my Florida mug. As we also discussed last week, these will be limited edition mugs because after I got to about 10 states, I realized I did not want a bunch of non-matching mugs in my home. So I collected about 5 or 10. I have since broken probably about 5 of them. So I think I'm left with like 5 states as proof that I was in those states. So, all right, it's kind of disappointing, but oh well, what are you gonna do? All right, so today, March, we're here starting off March. I love March. March is when the spring equinox happens. So we've got a lot of rebirth, a lot of springing forward, a lot of getting fit, a lot of people getting out, the weather's getting warmer. This is a month of lots of energy. And money is on my mind because that's going to be our topic. Our theme for this month is going to be money, 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 money. It's all about the money, money, money. We're going to talk about money and not money from the practical sense. I think most of us understand fundamentals, right? I think most of us do anything with money understand you need a budget, or what I like to call a spending plan. You get to have one. You don't need one. It's helpful to have one. You can do whatever you like, right? But most financial people in the financial industry would recommend having some sort of spending plan. Most people would recommend having some sort of long-term or short-term plan for the future. So short term might include your getting out of debt, 3 to 6 months of savings or whatever savings plan you have. Your long term plan might include retirement, college fund for the children, things like that. Or whether or not you're buying a home, do you want to buy? Do you want to rent? What are you planning on doing with that? Travel, all of those, and then buckets for whatever your lifestyle bucket, right? Do you want to travel? Do you want to, you know, education buckets, whatever you want to invest in. Some people invest in art. Some people invest in education. Some people invest in experiences. It's whatever. But most people would align with me in saying you need a framework. You need a short-term set of goals and a long-term set of goals. I think everybody knows that. I think if I asked everybody, what do you know about money, or what do you think you should have, or what is recommended advice? I think everybody would say that. Now, is everybody going back and doing that? Probably not. I don't know how many of us actually have a budget sheet or an app that they're using faithfully, that they touch every day or at a minimum weekly. Worst case scenario, monthly. You really should be touching it. The recommendation would be at least touching it weekly. I look at my money every day, every day. I look at every account and I'm like, what's happening in this account? Because that's how you find things. You have to have a relationship with your money. And that's what we're going to talk about. I think everybody understands the framework. Everybody doesn't do the framework. So what is in the gap between what you know and the actions you take? And that's what we're going to talk about this month and this month of money, because that's what it's all about. If there's a difference between, to quote Morpheus from The Matrix, there's a difference between knowing the path and walking the path. And most of us know the path, we don't walk it. And so what's in the gap between knowing and walking? And there's a lot of different things. Predominantly, most people will say, well, I'm afraid, and there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes on with that. Some people will say they don't know, like nuance stuff, like I don't exactly know how to create a budget, but I claim I don't know as a cop-out. We'll get to that. And then the other piece of it is your belief system, which is what we're going to talk about today. So this month is all about, it's all about the money, money, money. If you're old school, money, 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 money. However you need to sing it with me, because this is what's happening in the month of March. Coincidentally, it is also St. Patrick's Day, which is the green day, and the color of money in the U.S. at least is green, which I can dig it, right? It's also spring. Many of the spring colors are green, and it's about growing, right? The actual seeds that you've planted come up. So I kind of like this whole tying it together. You guys know I like alliteration and all how things are all connected, and all things are connected. So you think money isn't connected to what you know, the actions you take, the fears you feel, or the belief system, wrong. It's all connected. It's all connected. It's not about being born with a silver spoon, a trust fund, getting breaks in life, not getting breaks in life, the side of the tracks you were born on, and all this other stuff. We all have a bunch of excuses around what we think having money or not having money means. The breaks we got, like there's a whole, the path we believe we were put on is the reason we have the money that we have. And it's the actions you took on that path is the reason that you have the money that you have. It's not where you are, because I promise you, for every example that you could find of somebody that was born to the wrong family, impoverished, uneducated, never got any breaks, I could go out and find an example of an identical individual who had the same life on paper and did something completely different and is very successful. It's what you do with your life. It's the actions you take in your life. It's the beliefs you have in your life. It's not about where you were born. You know, there are people that have had the misfortune of being born in far worse circumstances than whatever your circumstances are, and they're doing far better. It's because of the choices they make, the belief system they chose to adopt in their life, and the actions that they took to back that up. So that's what we're going to talk about. Money is all about your mindset, your vibe. We're going to talk about attracting it, keeping it, multiplying it, directing it, channeling it, holding on to it, the whole thing. This is the stuff that's not talked about money. This is the stuff that trips us up, because it's the innate stuff. Anyone can, like I said, and I believe most of us do, most of us know how to create a budget, a spending plan. Most of us know you should be saving. Most of us know you should be saving in a couple, like any retirement person. Okay, if you're on your company job and your company has a match, you that's like a no-brainer. You at least do up to the match. Any financial person will tell you that. That's dollars and cents. That's pure math. Everybody can add and subtract. Everybody can do that. That's not it. You don't stay for retirement because there's a part of it's like, I don't have enough money. I can't afford to save. Well, that's a slave mentality. That's an impoverished mentality. Poverty, lack, being a slave to your job, to your boss, to anybody that's paying you money is a mentality. It's not the way it is. It's the way it is because you believe that's the way it has to be. So we're going to get into like the mind. This is the stuff like the what makes a difference around money. And I can totally say this as a divorced person, because what I believed and sometimes still struggle with, we've all been programmed to have these beliefs. Wherever you were born, wherever you were educated, whatever society or tribal group you were a part of, that includes your family, your extended family, the people at your workplace, your circle of friends, all of those are mini tribes. Whatever that tribal belief system is, this is what you are living out. That's your programming. That's all of your programming. This is what you're living out. And so because of that, that's why you have the results that you have. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about all the intangible stuff that nobody, this is the secret to money, the psychology of money. This is the stuff that nobody wants to talk to you about. Why? Everybody can teach dollars and cents, but nobody can hack into here and reprogram your subconscious around money. Even when you learn things, if you don't believe what you've learned, if people don't, a great example, we all know the story about when they discovered the earth was round. There are still people that argue the earth is flat, by the way. So, you know, that's making my point right there. But you all know it was no one could grasp the belief that the earth was actually round. And so it didn't matter what proof he had, what education he was giving everybody. If you don't believe it, then you're going to act as if in a different way. So this isn't about the education. I can and have and will continue to bring coaches on that talk about the fundamentals of money, because I do think there's an education piece where we all need to understand how to manage our money, like day to day, looking at your spreadsheets, looking at your spending plan, making wise decisions. Absolutely. And then there's all the stuff underneath all of that, that if you don't get to, it doesn't matter. The way you handle your money is really going to be based on your belief system. And if you don't believe that you can have money, make money, multiply money, invest money, if you don't believe and trust that you know what to do with money, every time you get money, it's just going to backfire. You're going to stuff it in your mattress. You're going to spend it all. You're going to, you know, I have relatives I can totally point to. I got friends I can point to. I can tell you my own stories where my belief system dictates what I do with the money that I get, not what I know, because we know a lot. You got the internet. You can Google anything you think you don't know. You could Google, is that right? Is that still right? Is that the same tax code? Do I know that? You can Google and look it up from a reputable source. I'm not talking about podunk Google, wiki, stuff that hasn't been verified. You can actually get on irs.gov. You can get on investment platforms that actually teach this. I'm pretty sure if you work for an employer, they have that has a 401k plan, those plans typically have investment people that can actually guide you in making the investments. They have tons of tools. Most sites have that. Again, you can be educated, but if you don't believe that you can make the decision in the face of being educated, in the face of having information, you're just not going to do it. All right. So this is what we're going to talk about. The hidden stuff that nobody wants to talk about money. I'm going to talk about it. All right. So first, let me start off, which I think I made my point, but I will reiterate. Money is a mindset. It's a vibe, first and foremost. Money is a concept. I don't know if you guys, everybody should know this, right? This is, if you don't, I'll share it with you, but I'm sure most people know this. The paper that we have, the dollar bills that we have, are in exchange for gold back in the day. You used to put your gold in the bank and they give you a piece of paper, which was a representation of the gold that you actually had in bank. So back in the day, paper money came about because it was actually real. You had little nuggets or coins or whatever they had, and you put it in the bank, and a banker said, this represents the value of your gold, and you could go out and spend these pieces of paper as a representation of the value of your gold. Well, nobody has gold anymore. Well, there's gold, but we don't have it. I mean, it's in different places, but I don't have access to it. You don't have access to it. So now we just have the paper form. And now we're even moving from paper to digital, where now you have a card. And on the card, there are a set of codes and numbers and that represent the dollar amount that you have in a bank, the same institution that used to exchange gold, that tells you what the value of your work is, etc. So now we have cards. We don't even have cash anymore. Some people still use cash. I still use cash for certain things, but you have cash, you have cards. That's pretty much what you have. I don't even know if people use vending machines still take coins. I think they're like the last, that and the metro and the bus system are like the last holdout for coins. I mean, you can go to the store and do it, but I almost feel like sometimes they hate to open the cash register when you give them money because then they got to go in the back and get some. They don't always have money. Anyway, so it's a representation. It's not even real. So how you relate to this representation is everything. We have been taught, programmed, that the representation of this piece of paper is valuable. That's what I mean by programming. We've been taught that. You don't come out of the womb thinking money, 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 money. You really come out of the womb thinking food, clothing, and shelter. You don't really think anything. You're dependent on people to provide for you and teach you the way to go. One of the things that we teach is the value of money. And we teach the value of money from the perspective of how we value it. So if you have a wealth consciousness mindset and you believe money is floating all around me, I can make money easily, we are very wealthy, we're very blessed, you teach that. You teach that to your child. If you're like, Money is hard to come by. Money is a struggle. You're always going to have to work hard. You always have to do it better, cleaner, faster, because you're a woman, you're a minority, you're disabled. Have a different representation or expression, whatever. There's a whole list of things down that list that you could go to, then you're going to believe that you're going to have to work twice as hard for money. That's a belief system. These things are handed to you. You don't choose them until you get old enough to choose them. The good news is you get to choose them. So if you were born with wealth consciousness, great. If you get to, and you already have it, you already know it. That's when you see like people you have in your life that always seem up in terms of money, like nothing really bad ever really happens to them. I love that there was an episode of Seinfeld on this. And they were saying, for those people who are Seinfeld fans, I'm not really giving it away. You have George, Elaine, and Jerry. Jerry broke even. He was always breaking even. And so it didn't matter. And she, to prove this, he found he had $20 and she threw it out the window. And 5 minutes later, he found $20 in his pocket, right? He always broke even. He basically maintained a steady continuum. And then they had George, who was always down. He was always losing money, losing jobs, losing money, losing girlfriends. His life was on a downward, and Elaine was on an upward trajectory, and they ended up switching places. Anyway, that was the gist of it. But there's some truth to that from a mindset perspective. You know people, it doesn't matter what happened. They lose a job, they have a job next week. The water heater goes up, and they get a check from a windfall from the IRS. There was some type of mistake and they get it to pay for it. You know people like this. You know people that it doesn't matter the way they see. And it seems random, like, oh, they can't control this. It's not random. It's how they think and interact with money. They don't have a belief system that ever says that they're going to be hungry, they're going to live in lack, that they're going to, they just don't. You know people like this. You're probably thinking of like, you know, so-and-so. You're thinking of them right now. You're thinking of them right now because there are people that are like that. It's their belief system. They always attract things to make them break even. Then there's people that always are on this upward trajectory. It doesn't matter. They're always getting a better job. They always make more money. They get crazy opportunities. Somebody offers like out of the blue offers to buy their car for way more money than it's worth. They get an offer for a house that for way more money than it's worth. They get a job. Their, you know, relationships are like they, because they believe that they're, I had a girlfriend like this, who she would say, she didn't believe that she would ever be alone. And she was never without a man in her life. I mean, I don't recall a time where she had space. I'm not judging the right or wrong of it. I'm not judging the right or wrong of any of these things. I'm just saying she got what she believed. She was never alone. She always had good boyfriends and men who doted on her, but she believed that. So she never attracted people into her life who would be anything other than, and even if she did, she wouldn't engage with them because that's not her belief system. She would believe, I wouldn't engage with that guy. Why would I do that? No, I'm not going out with you. And not from like a mean place, but like, no, that's not my guy. He's not a guy that I would go out with. This is a guy that I would go out with. I am going out with him. And if I break up with him, there'll be another guy somewhat similar, you know, probably better that I'll go out with because that's who she was. Like, that's who she was. It's the same thing with money. It's the same thing with anything. Like, you get what you believe. You get what you believe. And money is probably the biggest mind game ever on the planet. Because we need it, and because we need it to survive, that's how our society is based. We have a very odd relationship that we need it, we think we can't have it, that we have to work uber hard to get it, that it eludes us, that we're in lack, that we, if we don't have a certain number, we don't feel secure. There's all this stuff tied up with money, and it's because we do need it for survival. That's not a joke. That's not even a belief system. That is like, well, I even challenge myself on that. There are people who make no money and are well taken care of. Again, belief system. And they make no money and are well taken care of. And that's what they believe. And if they lost their supporter, sponsor, provider, husband, wife, whoever was taking care of them, I promise you, it would be in short order. They would find somebody else to do it. They don't believe they need money. They just believe they will be taken care of. So again, this is about your belief. I have seen this. I just saw an article recently with a gentleman. He had three wives and he didn't work. And they were all saying, we treat him like a king. Again, not judging the right or wrong of it. He doesn't believe he has to work, and he doesn't. You get what you believe. So money is a mindset. It's a vibe. There are spenders. There are savers. There are multipliers. There are channelers. And there are people that do all four, right? Most of the time, I joke about this when I did a financial stewardship class at my church like years ago. And the gentleman used to say, usually in marriage, you got a spender and a saver. And that typically is the riff. They have to get on the same page. There's somebody that's always spending, and there's somebody that is really always saver. Again, which is a belief system that comes from their programming from before they even met each other, right? They may not even know that that's who they are, but that's who shows up in that relationship is that somebody, and it's a continuum. So you might have been the spender in a previous relationship, and then you get with this person and you're actually the saver because they spend way more money than you do, right? So it's a continuum. It's not always you're the spender in every relationship. That might be the case, but it also might be that depending on who you meet, as you mature, you gain some more information, some more education, you apply it, your belief systems evolve, hopefully, right? As you grow, you learn, you develop, your belief systems evolve. And when they do, you meet somebody who's at a different level than you are. Now you're the saver in the relationship and they're the spender, right? Or maybe like attracts like. You both are savers. You get on the same page, right? It could happen. So money is a mindset. It's a vibe. It's all about what you believe. It's all about what you think is coming to you, what you feel you deserve, what you believe is available to you, how you believe money works, how you believe the world works, how you believe the world works for who you are, right? I have a particular belief system around being an African-American female in the United States. That belief system guides my thinking. And if I'm not careful, it will guide my thinking in the direction that I don't want to go. I have to debunk that and make sure that I am looking what is actually really possible, not what I've been programmed to believe possible. People, especially underrepresented groups, we have been programmed that money and life is a struggle. It's a struggle. And so we embrace the struggle. We wear the struggle like a badge of honor. It's not always a struggle. Some things come pretty easy. Sometimes you get that job because you're good. It wasn't hard, but we turned it into this big drama-filled fest. Why? Because our belief system says that if it wasn't hard, it wasn't worth it. If it wasn't hard, then we don't deserve it. If it wasn't hard, then we're really not going to get it. And so we turn something as simple as getting a job into this big old dramatic fest where there was all these problems and the interview didn't work out and you had to do your background twice and you had to provide three, you know, top three more references than anybody else. And they were discriminatory and now you're suing. Like it turns into this big drama thing that it doesn't have to be. That's not the way it is. It's your perspective on it, because your programming says if it's not a struggle, if it wasn't hard, and if I didn't have to jump through some hoops to get it, then either I'm not worth it, the job's not worth it, or something is off. I don't trust it. That's your programming. You got to let that go. It's these types of, they're insidious. They're little teeny tiny belief systems that you don't even know you believe until you step back and go, why is every time I try to go look for another job or start a business or start a relationship hard? Why is it so hard? Why does it have to be so hard for me? There are other women who look like me, talk like me, have equal education or less education. It's not hard for them. Why is it hard for me? You got to step back. What do I believe about each of those things that makes it difficult for me? Because most of it is in your mind. Most of it is in your mind. All right. So you can be any or all a spender, a saver, a multiplier, a channeler at any given time, depending on the mindset you have and the beliefs. It's okay to spend. You were given money to spend. You need it, right? How are you buying groceries if you're not spending, right? How are you doing any of these things? If you're not spending, you can't buy groceries or a car or a house. You need it. It's okay to spend. Don't get caught up in like the judgment around that. It's okay to treat yourself. It's okay to buy something that is expensive, but of high quality and value to you. People spend in accordance to their values. right? Right. It's okay to save. You save for a goal, save for a rainy day, save for retirement. There's nothing innately wrong with any of those. It's okay to be a person who makes money. Like, that's what I do. I go in, I assess, I multiply, I sell, I get out, I double my money, I'm out. There's nothing wrong with that. People have it that people who make money are bad, are evil, they're rude, they're obnoxious. They don't care about people. They don't care about you. They are just people that are insensitive and walk over people and don't care about human. That's not true. That's not true. There are plenty of people that make money, and all they do is use the money that they have to reinvest in humanity. Most of the money that they have reinvest in humanity. People don't talk about them. You know, and I know you guys know about Oprah and the school that she has in Africa, probably Bono, who uses a lot of his money to do that. Bill and Melinda Gates. I think Melinda Gates gave, Bezos' wife. She gave a bunch of money to HBCUs. There's a bunch of people who take the money that they have and they pour it into other things. In fact, if we didn't as human beings, many of the things that we have wouldn't exist. Schools, technology, centers, especially centers that are very philanthropic, that are like not making money. Centers for refugees, centers for mothers who are pregnant and need support and prenatal care. Like, there's tons of things. It's not people who make money aren't all bad. That's the belief system that you've adopted, because it gives you a reason to not make money and keeps you at bay. It keeps you stuck in that, because I'm afraid if I make a lot of money, I'll turn into an evil person. People feel like, I know you think this is probably, people say, that's silly. I don't even have that belief, but I'm telling you, I've coached enough people. I've seen it enough times that when you really get under it, people have a fear of, I don't want to become like whoever they have in their mind that they think is terrible, because that was their experience and they had a lot of money and they were rude and obnoxious and oppressive. Maybe they had a landlord that threw them out, somebody in the media that they follow, somebody that they volunteered for, and then they found out that they weren't the person that they thought they were. It doesn't matter. Again, it supports these belief systems. We're programmed to do this, and then we look for evidence to do it. So people who have an abundant or prosperous mindset, which is, you can be any or all of these as you need to. You can be a spender, a saver, a multiplier, and a channeler, a conduit for money. Money passes through you. You get it, and then you move it on through you to do something else, something valuable, something meaningful, right? As it is aligned with your values. Nowadays, there's a lot to talk about people putting their money where their values are. So companies you spend money with, companies you don't spend money with, because of their value system, because of their philosophy, because of how they treat people. Agree. They're just like, there are people that don't treat people well, there are people that do. There are people that do. So you can be any or all of these things at any given time, and you can be them by choice, right? You can say, this is going to be a quarter of or the year of saving, because you have a particular short or long-term goal in mind. Same thing. I'm going to spend because I'm going to be investing in myself, my kids, my business, my home, my family, whatever. This is going to be a year where I'm in investing and spending, or channeling. Money's going to come in and I'm going to invest it, right? I'm going to channel it to something that's really, really good. A multiplier. I'm going to invest and I'm going to watch my money grow. I'm going to pull out and then reinvest it into something else, right? You could be doing that. Any or all, that no particular type is good or bad or right or wrong. The idea is that you are nimble enough in mind that you are who you need to be, a spender, a saver, a multiplier, or a channeler, when you need to be that person to hit your short and long-term goals. If it requires saving, you're all over it. If it requires spending, you're all over that. If it requires multiplying your money, you're all over it. And if you need to be a conduit, a channeler, you're all over that. The idea is not to be locked in. You don't have to be any one way. You get to be whatever it takes to help you facilitate the money goals and the kind of life that you want to have, right? What you have to do is believe better and bigger than where you are now, no matter which of those you choose. Believe you can spend more, save more, multiply more, and channel more. That's the idea. So I always like to use a couple of examples to show you this, because here's how this belief, people say, well, what do you mean believe better? Of course, I believe I'm going to be a millionaire, but I have yet to hit the lottery, right? Nobody's going to come up and leave $1 million bag on, well, they might, you never know. There are people that, you know, have generated bigger miracles than I on weirder things than that, right? You have to believe better so you can manifest bigger in terms of money. This is where like debunking your belief system comes in. So I'll give you an example. When you started off, this is a good, let me take a sip here. How many of you remember what you first made when you got your first job? Drop a me, or you can drop the number in there. I'll never forget my first job. I made a whopping $18,500. I will never forget that because it was my first job. I had an offer letter back in the day. I had benefits. That was like a big deal. And the letter was long and I had 401, like it had a lot of stuff in it. I was stoked. And so I was at that job and then I took another job. But in my mind, what am I thinking? I'm now worth 18.5. I will never take less than 18.5. That was my thing. I didn't have the consciousness at the time to believe I could actually be worth more. That wasn't my programming. Negotiating salary, not my programming. And for a lot of women, this is true. And for a lot of women, especially coming out of divorce, it's still true. It's not something you would do because it's not your taught. Now, we're getting better with pay transparency. Women are closing the gap with what men make on the dollar versus what they make. We're closing the gap on that. But for a lot of women, negotiating is not the thing. So I never thought that. So when I left that job for the same money. I left that job because that job wasn't in my field and I didn't like what I was doing. And I was willing to move over to this job in my field to do that. I applied for another job, the second place. And I will never forget. Even then, I thought long and hard. I prayed about it. I remember doing research that I knew to do at that time. I don't know if the internet wasn't really that big. It had just kind of gotten started. I don't want to date myself too much, but I don't think I had a lot of intel, but I had some intel. And I talked to people and I remember I applied for this job and the promotion and I asked for $26,000. I remember like, guys, you don't know, like this was like a milestone because I never before believed you could ask for what you want from an employer and get it. I didn't believe that. I was young. I think I was 21, might've been 22. I was really young in my early 20s. This was my second job out of college. So I was young. Actually, I was 21. I don't think I was 22. I was like, this was my second job. I was only in that first job for 6 months. I took this job because I knew it was going to be a better opportunity and it was in my field. And I was going up for promotion. And I remember like meekly asking, and they asked, which that was, nobody had ever asked me before, what do you want? What do you want to make? Or what are your salary requirements? No one had asked me up until then. I'm a college student. And like, these weren't the kind of conversations I had with my parents. I didn't have it with colleagues at the time. You know, back in the day, we didn't talk about money. No one talked about money. In at least in my tribal system, my family, we didn't talk about money. I didn't know what my mom made. I didn't know what my dad made. We didn't bring it up. It was like taboo. So I'm up for this promotion. I didn't call my parents and say, what should I ask for, mom and dad, or a friend or anything? We didn't talk about money. So I'm on my own. I'm handling it, just trusting in my innate ability, relying on what I learned in college, relying on the research and the few colleagues that I'd talked to and what I thought the job was worth and looking at the salary range of the job and just kind of felt into, what do I think that I'm worth? And she asked me, what did I want to make? And I said $26,000. And I remember what is that, like a $7,000, $6,000 jump? And it was a big jump. It was a big jump. And I remember just thinking, oh God, I don't know if they're going to give it to me. I don't know if I'm worth it. This is going to be a big leap. Now, granted, I don't know anything about how promotions work. I don't know how they make these decisions. I don't know anything, but I just in my mind was like, this is what I think I'm worth and I'm going to ask for it. And so here's what happened. This is an interesting story, which is why I say it's truly about your belief system. So I go in and I decide I'm going to ask for this. And if they don't give it to me, I get it and I'll see what they say. But this is what I really want and what I believe that I'm worth. And after my little research, like I was kind of attached to this number of 26. So here's what happened. The VP looks at me. The person that was going to promote me decides that she's going to go and ask whoever for the raise. And then I had to have this meeting with one of the VPs. And she looks at me and she's looking down at the paper and she sees how much I asked for. And she looked at me. And you know what she said? This is when I really got it. I had no idea you made so little. What? What? She's looking at what I was making to what it was. And she goes, 26. Wow, that's fine. I had no idea you made so little. And she signs off on it. Right? All the time I should have been asking for more. I didn't know to, because I didn't believe I could have more until that moment when I asked for more and I got more. That's the point. That is my exact point. From then on, it was more about what do you think you're worth? Ask for what you want and make the argument. You don't let other people determine your value and be willing to step away from an opportunity if they don't give you your worth. Because at the end of the day, when they don't do that, you're telling them that that's okay and that you're willing to take less than your value. And that's a belief system. It's not the truth. It's a belief system. So I share this with you because this happens to people all the time. They don't stand on what they believe they're worth. They stand on what they're told they're worth. And that is where the issue starts. That's why I said it's a mindset. When you believe better, believe more abundant, you know your value, you know what you're capable of, you can renegotiate what it is you're being paid because of the value that you're bringing to the table. Now, make no mistake, bring the value. I'm not saying go around asking for a bunch of money that you haven't earned, you can't demonstrate that you can do, don't know how to do, have never done, you haven't put in effort, you don't have the relationships. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when you know you're worth more, you ask for more and you stand in that. Why? Because you believe it. You believe it. Now, when you hem and haw, well, if you could just give me, you know, like a little $500, like that would be really great. And they're like, I'll give you 100. Okay, I'll take it. Because you're not believing in your value. People give you what you believe you're worth. And if you don't believe in your value and you don't believe in what you're worth, then you will get what they have determined that your value and your worth is. That's why money is a mindset game. It doesn't matter if you've been to, I'd been to college. I had a great resume. I had letters of recommendation. That wasn't the issue. I had job interviews. I was getting job interviews. That wasn't the issue. The issue was I wasn't asking for what I was worth because my programming said, you're going to have to do all this jumping through hoops and prove yourself and be in the struggle because you're a young Black woman who doesn't know anybody, has no connections, and doesn't know what it is you're up against. You're going to have to get some experience and prove yourself 4 times more than everybody else because that was my programming. The second time around, I just went in and asked for what I wanted because I knew better. I had learned better and I trusted myself more. With that little bit of experience I had under my belt from that other job and having done a great job, and I felt like I had proven myself. I had a really difficult boss at that job too. I had a boss so difficult that everybody warned me about this guy and I never had a problem with him. I was always able to get along with him. And people were like, you're really doing well with him. Great. Having armed with that and my success, when I went to ask for the money at the other place, I knew what I was worth. I knew it. And that was from my own innate experience, not from my programming, but because I chose to step up and believe something different about myself and the experience that I was getting. And I asked for that money and I got it. I will never forget that. This is what I'm talking about. When you believe better, bigger of yourself, you'll get it. But as long as you have a lack mentality, I won't get it because you can fill in the blank. I'm a woman, I'm short, fat, tall, skinny, old, young, whatever it is, don't have the experience. You can fill in the blank. Racial issues, as long as you have a lack mentality, you'll never do it. And the other mentality is a slave mentality. I have to take what they give me. And as long as it's enough, I will take it. As long as it's enough. I sure do hope they give us our cost of living this year. I sure do hope they give us that little bonus, that Christmas bonus this year. I sure do hope that's a slave mentality. I will take what they give me because I don't have any choice. You have a bazillion choices. You do not have to stay at that job. You do not. You can make other choices. You can have a different mentality. You can elevate yourself. Now, everybody knows this. I'm not telling you anything you know. You know you can get another job. You know you can get a certification. You know you can go back to school. You know that right now there are 1.7 jobs per person. People keep talking about a recession. That's talk. The reality is unemployment is the lowest it's ever been. And there are more jobs per person than there ever has been before in the US. You know you can get another job. You know you can go back to school. You know you can get another certification. People are looking for people right now. But if you are in slave mentality and you're telling yourself, I can't do any better than where I am right now, then you will always accept what someone else has determined your value. That is not the way of the world. That is your mindset. And that's what I'm talking about. If you have a lack or slave mentality, that is impoverished. Poverty, being poor, is a mentality. It's a mentality. It's not a reality. Your mentality makes it your reality. And you can get beyond that. This is the secret nobody tells you. No, people are talking about it now. But when you're like 5, 6, 7, and you're having your first lemonade stand, and your mother is giving you quarters, and then you get a job in middle school and in college, nobody is sitting down. And if you had your mother or a friend or somebody that actually taught you this, I hope you embrace it and your life is different and you're sharing it with your friends. But people very rarely sit down and tell you, listen, it's not about the lemonade stand. It's about what you believe. And if you believe you will sell a lot, you will go door to door. I'll give you another example of that. When I was a kid, I was raised in a different religion. And in that religion, we used to proselytize. So we used to go out. And when I was a child, I was unstoppable. There is no door. There is no person I would not talk to. Why? I thought it was what I was supposed to be doing. And I was great at it. People loved taking me out because I was a kid. It was cute. I knew my stuff. That's what I thought you were supposed to be doing. People would let us in. They want to chat. Oh, it's okay. Because that's who I thought I was supposed to be doing. That's what I thought. I was getting what I believed. I had no experience that it was about anybody else's belief system or anything, because that's what I believe. It's the tribe that I grew up in. This is what I'm talking about. You get what you believe because it's the experience you have. Just like we say lots of other things are taught, your mindset around money is taught. You inherited it. You owe it to yourself to open up Pandora's box and actually look at the beliefs inside and see, are they serving you or are they not? Are they keeping you in poverty or are they actually evolving your wealth consciousness? Are they keeping you in lack or are they keeping you in abundance? Are you enslaved to someone or are you free to do whatever it is you want that would bring you joy and you get to thrive in your talents, gifts, and abilities, which you were given to make money, to make the world a better place, right? You get to choose. You get to choose. So I'll end on here. I'll give you a couple things that you want to do to actually start to look at this mindset. First of all, what I just said, open your money Pandora's box and actually look at the beliefs that you have. What are they? Are they serving you? And anything that isn't serving you, I mean, really look at it. Where did it come from? Who said it? When did you experience it? How did it anchor itself in you? There's tons of things that my parents said that as you grew older, you look for evidence and you were like, man, that is the truth, right? That isn't really the truth. It was what was programmed, and it was what I looked for evidence to support. And I now, as I'm an older adult, I can see I have evidence to support other belief systems, right? We all have belief systems. Pick the ones that serve. Two, you want to clean up your system for flow. Here's one thing that blocks our creating our ability to pull in and attract money. It's not being a good steward of the money that you have. You need to clean up your habits. In addition to cleaning up your beliefs, you need to clean up your habits. You can clean up your beliefs all you want to. You can believe that it is an infinite universe, but you won't take action on that belief if you have crappy habits. And this is what I was talking about. I check my money every day. How many of you have a spending plan you never look at? You never compare your money. How many of you don't look at what you're spending your money on, like, ever, or once a quarter, which is not frequent enough? That's probably frequent enough to look at your investments. It is not frequent enough to look at your day-to-day spending around money, even if you have a lot of money. People that have a lot of money spend time with their money. They have a very intimate relationship with their money. You need to clean up your habits. And you need to clean up your habits like there are money leaks. So, for example, if you have a bank card, I got a bunch of mail sitting here. I just got this mail. Whatever this mail is, there's a bunch of things that I need to open here, sitting over here, right? It's a money leak. There are things in that pile I need to take care of. So this weekend, I will open them all, sort them all. I will shred what is completed, and I will make a list of things to take care of. And by the end of next week, I will have taken care of them. So there's no money leaks. No money leaks. When you do not take care of the things you know you need to take care of, it like clogs up your mind. And so part of that is, I can't attract more money because I'm not a good steward of the money that I have. And your mind will tell you the way you relate to money is the way you've always related to it. You spend too much, you hoard too much, you don't keep any of it, and you don't invest any of it. Or if you do invest it, you invest poorly, right? Your mind knows the habits you have around money. And so you become fearful of having more money because you haven't been a good steward of the money that you have. Your mind goes back to the past. How do we handle windfalls? How do we handle opportunities that come in our way? How do we handle the raises that we get? How do we handle the bonuses that we get? And if you haven't been a good steward of it, you will block money coming in your way, or you will rinse and repeat bad habits that you've had all the time. So what happens with that is you don't go after money. You don't change your beliefs. You won't go for the bigger job. You won't try to get a better education. You won't try to elevate yourself because deep down you have a fear. Your mindset around it is, I'm just going to do what I did 6 months ago with all that money I got, blow it. This is what happens if you don't, like lottery winners, right? Lottery winners think money is going to solve their problem. They win the lottery and they end up broke. Some of them end up in more debt than they had than before they hit the lottery. Not because it's not the money in and of itself, it's their mindset and beliefs around the money. They don't believe they're going to keep it. They believe the money's going to go away. And what happens? The money goes exactly away like they thought it was. They overspend. They invest poorly. They don't save any of the money. They spend it all. They go balling out because they don't have the mindset to hold the money. This is what I'm saying. Mindset is all about how you attract, right? What we were saying before, how you attract, how you keep it, how you multiply it, how you invest, direct, and channel the money. That's directly tied to your belief system because it will dictate your actions. And if you don't know what you believe about money, look at the last 6 months of your statements. It'll tell you, how do you feel about fast food? How do you feel about delivery? How do you feel about Amazon? How do you feel about paying your bills on time? How do you feel about late fees? How do you feel about any of that? If you're not sure how you feel, what your belief system is, look at how your spending has been the past 6 months. Look at what you've saved the past 6 months. If you're unclear about what your beliefs are, look back at your habits. They will be the clue to tell you what your beliefs are about that. So you got to clean up your habits. Your habits right now are either closing money loops so that there's flow, right? You're not, you're like, closing up things, like getting them off your plate so things can flow through like a clear channel. Or your habits are, you have money leaks. There are things that you should be paying, you're not paying. Bills that you should be making arrangements for, you might like. Things that you should be fighting against, like you didn't make that purchase, it's on your card, you need to, what do they have, that app that takes off subscription services you're not using, you should be getting rid of. You need to create the space for money to come in. And as long as you have bad habits and things in your money space that you've not cleaned up, it's not going to work out for you. You're just going to get more money in, and then you're going to have all these things that are just going to eat up your money because of the way that your habits are around how you manage your money. That's just a fact. Like that's just common sense, that it's an energy space and it's an action and reality space. Because energetically, if you don't believe you're going to hold on to money, you just constantly create bad habits that support that belief. And it'll be your reality, right? So you got to clean up your habits, close loops, get rid of money leaks. If there are pieces of paper on your desk of things you need to take care of them. Make a list, start crossing them off, get them out of your space. This also could include physical space, right? It could be things you need to get rid of. You have a bunch of clothes you need to get rid of, things you need to sell, junk in your house that needs to be removed. It's all there. It clutters up your mind. If you have poor habits in terms of how you manage your money, it's also probably poor habits in how you manage other aspects of your space. How we do one thing is how we do everything. So whatever habits are that aren't serving you, you need to take a look at them. But in particular, take a look at your money habits. And if you're not sure what your money beliefs are, look at your money habits. That will give you a serious clue as to what your money beliefs are. The other tip that I have for you is when you do this, as you clean up your money habits, you're going to be creating connection and intimacy, a relationship with your money. Most of us are not in relationship with our money. We're not in relationship with most things in our house. We're not in relationship with half the people in our lives. We don't have a deep, loving, supportive, connected, high vibe relationship with these people. We have a lot of people in our life that are like pass through. We talk sometimes, we hang sometimes, but I'm just too busy. They're just too busy. I understand it's not a big deal. And there's not really any real reciprocity or deepening of that relationship. And the way, if that's how your relationships are in your life, I promise you that's how your relationships are with your money. Right? So take a look at the intimacy level you have with your money. Do you read your spending plan every week? Do you look at your bank statements? How up are you on your taxes? Do you have your will, power of attorney, living will done? If you had the untimely pass, is your family protected? Have you taken care of them? How intimate are you with your money, with your legacy documents? How intimate are you? Do you know how your investments are performing? When was the last time you looked? It's intimacy. If you have the habit of avoiding, of not connecting, I promise you, that's why you have all those money leaks, because there's not intimate. So intimacy. So if you clean up your habits, by default, you're going to be engaging with your money. You're going to be creating more intimacy with your money. And relationships, all relationships, with your boo, with your kids, with your mom, your dad, with your boss, with anybody, when they are intimate and real, they're just better. They're just more fulfilling, more satisfying, more yummy, more delightful. It will be no different with your money. You know where your money is going. You know where your money has been. You know what you're saving. You know how your investments are performing. You've closed all these money leaks. There's no money leaking. Every subscription you have adds value. When you spend money, you're spending money on quality things, not crap that you don't need. When you save money, it's because you're saving for the long game and the short game, right? When you invest, you research your investments. You're investing in companies that not only do you believe in their product, but you believe in their value system, right? When you are a channel for money, when you're like, I just made a bunch of money and these proceeds are going to come through me and go to this charity or organization that I really believe in, or go into the savings, or go into my retirement, or go into a college fund for my kids. When you're channeling money into things you really believe in, that is an intimate, deep, satisfying, fulfilling relationship with your money. And when you have that, how your money future looks, how your money flow looks will change. It will change. And rinse and repeat, right? So steps, get at your money beliefs. Look at your money habits and clean them up. Create a deep, intimate relationship with your money and then rinse and repeat. That's where we are, rinse and repeat. All right. So thank you for spending this Saturday with me. We're talking about the money, money, money. It's all about the money, money, money. Next week, we're going to talk about attracting money. If you clean up your space, you know what your beliefs are, and you're going to begin to look at them and create new beliefs. You know what your habits are. You're breaking down your habits. You're creating new habits, right? You're getting intimate with your money. I have a money date every week. Money date every week. I sit down. I look at numbers. I look at accounts every day. I look at certain accounts every day. So I have that every day. It's like having a date with your boo. Every morning we get up and we have coffee and we think about our day and we talk about the kids and we talk about the house. A lot of couples have that. You should have it with your money. Every night before you go to bed, you look at what you spend. You look at the dollars that have come through. You make a note of people you need to follow up with and you need to talk to. And you knock that out. Intimate. Just like you would with any other relationship. You don't have relationships where you don't know what's going on. So build that intimacy into your relationship. And then you rinse and repeat. You keep doing it. You keep looking, you keep closing money loops, building better money habits, creating more intimacy with your money, looking at the beliefs you have when you don't have the results you have in creating new beliefs. You keep doing that. Rinse and repeat. You keep doing that. And as you up level in your ability to attract, and as your money grows, your mindset will grow. And if it's not growing, then you get to look at, why is it not growing? What beliefs do I have that are stagnating? What habits do I have that are blocking that? Am I not intimate enough with my money? Where do I not know what's going on? And I should, right? You get to look at that, rinse and repeat, and you get to go deeper. You get to go deeper. So take a look at that in terms of your money habits. Next week, we're going to be talking about attracting more money. How do I bring more money in? You got to nail this first though, because you could bring, like I said, the lottery winners, you could bring millions of dollars in. If you've not cleaned up your beliefs and your habits and are intimate, you're going to bring more money in and it's going to go right on out the door. Just like it always has. So this is the foundational piece. You got to get your mind right. You got to get your mind on your money and your money on your mind. Bottom line. That's the bottom line. Because if you don't, then just like any other toxic relationship, it's going to end and it's going to end badly. That's why people file for bankruptcy. They don't have an intimate relationship with their money. Some of them don't have any relationship with their money. That's how people stay in lack. That's how people stay in poverty. That's how people stay in the slave mentality, always working and accepting what somebody else doles out to them, because they haven't done this work. They haven't looked at their beliefs. They haven't looked at their habits, and they do not have an intimate relationship with their money. And if you had that with anybody else, that relationship would go down the toilet too. All right. So next week, we talk about attracting money. I will be back here. Same bat time, same bat channel. I know that dates me too. Anyway, oh well. What can I say? You know, all I can do is try to look good for my age. You know what's interesting too? I don't look like I have on earrings, but I do, guys. I am actually wearing earrings today. All right. So I'm going to go finish my coffee for today. Next week, we're talking about attracting money, bringing more money in. What does it take? What mindset do you need to have to pull in more money, to have more money opportunities, to believe that more opportunities are going to come your way, to manifest more opportunities, to stay in the energy of abundance, the mindset of abundance, to really get rid of, I don't have to do it harder, faster, better, stronger, longer because of whatever fill in the blank. And I can actually do it. I don't need the struggle, the drama around money. Like you got to slough, like shake that off. Because if that's going to be your mindset, then you will never get money without a lot of rigmarole. And I personally am not committed to rigmarole or struggle. I'm committed to ease and peace. And I'm not saying I don't have to do my work, because we all got to do the work. But I'm not committed that it has to be drama filled and a pride swallowing uphill battle siege to live well. to have an abundant mindset and a healthy wealth consciousness. All right. Celebrate yourself. Go out today and celebrate yourself. Make sure you do something loving. Make sure you do something kind. Make sure you do something amazing and treat yourself well. Today is Celebration Saturday. So celebrate you. Celebrate you for showing up and listening. Celebrate you for engaging with your money today. Drop me a comment in the bottom of this to let me know what it is you did to actually take a look at your money beliefs and show up for yourself in a different way, to really examine what beliefs don't serve you and what beliefs you want to create in your life. And that's not easy work. That's a whole other course that I, you know, can't do here on a Saturday. But there's probably some of that in my group. If you've not joined my group on NASIO, I think the link is in here. Join the Divas on NASIO. It's there. There's plenty of other courses. There's some money experts in there that I have interviewed for that. And we will continue to do that so that I can find better ways to support you in your life transitions. Make sure you take some time to celebrate yourself today. Have an amazing Saturday. And I will see you next Saturday as we talk about attracting the cash. Have a great weekend.
Back into myself. What a wonderful world.